This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 373 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Ed.
This is Sam.
And this is Jimmy.
And welcome to 2021. Tonight, our show is going to be all about the year that was 2020. But before we get there, guys, Happy New Year and welcome back to the show.
Happy New Year! 2020 is behind us. Thank goodness. Keep marching forward. Don't look back. Although we are going to look back a little bit, I guess.
We're going to have to look back.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was some cool stuff that happened.
Sure. And we have to look back because this actually has become one of our traditional things to do. Now, I did a little bit looking back to see when the first time we did one of these reviews was. And wouldn't you know it, show number 15, Jimmy, myself, and Tom, we did the year in review 2013.
15, like 1-5, like that long ago. And what are we now? 3, oh, geez, that's a long time ago.
73, I know. So what we're doing tonight is we're going to go over the year in review, and as we always do, we'll try to go kind of in order as the year went along. However, I got to tell you, with the way this year went, we're definitely going to have some things out of order, and we might miss one or two things too. But
I know what the big thing we were talking about in 2013. It was New Fantasyland.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
That's what
that
it
makes
was.
Sense. Which was a major thing at that point. Unfortunately, 2020 was the year we should have been talking all about Epcot. But we'll touch base as we go along in this review. So 2021 is here, and we're totally enjoying the new things that are becoming to Disney. But for one last time, let's take a look back at 2020.
It started out great. January, February, they were great months. Lots of stuff happening.
Now, one of the things that started in January was the announcements and then the eventual opening of the Regal Eagle Smokehouse. At Epcot. So now that was one that I never got to, and I really want to try that guy out. Now, I guarantee you guys have been there.
I got to try it. You know, I was there with Sam in January last year, and it hadn't quite opened yet. I mean, it was getting close. It was so close that the like, instead of being walled off, it just had, they had like those trees and like the little buckets on wheels that they, so that's what was surrounding it.
Wheels.
Yeah. So that's what they were blocking it with. So it was like, yeah, it's gotta be getting close. Cause they took the walls down and they had these temporary barriers up. My next trip back was in July, which is right after it opened back up, me and Ian. And that's one of the first places we went.
Yeah. So Jimmy, we saw it there in January. I got back in early February and I was able to see it when it had first opened. It was awesome. And I think one of the big things I brought back to the show was the new bar that they put out in front of this place. Number one, it's awesome that it's Sam the Eagle. And I got my Sam the Eagle Regal Eagle t-shirt, which is great. I love that. Great food, really good. But outside is a full bar with, you know, American sort of, you know, the Sam Adams, the Blue Moons, your craft style beer. Beers, but they were the regular size beers, which is really cool. So having that big bar right up in the front, I thought was a great addition, and probably one you didn't get to do in July, but that was how it looked back in February.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say it's so much more than just beer too. I mean, like, it's
You're right,
it's a full-on bar.
Yeah, you're right. It was the Tennessee whiskeys, and absolutely.
And when you said outside of the weather, outside of the restaurant?
Outside of the restaurant. It's sort of right in front of the smoke pit that they built. So there's a bar there, like a walk-up window sort of thing. Call it that.
Excellent.
One of the pool bars that, like, pops in.
Yeah.
It used to be similar to that.
Okay.
A counter service type of a thing, yeah.
Very cool.
And it was it's good, and it's a wonderful place for it.
Nice. On the list. Okay, so something else that started happening, and we mentioned this earlier, is that Epcot had a lot of changes coming to it. Even before the changes were announced for the majority of the park, they had already started doing some modifications, and one of them had been with the entrance. And they did some testing, and they released, and they opened up the whole new main entrance to Epcot. Have you guys
been
through that?
I have not seen it. It looks beautiful. I have not seen it in person.
I have not seen it in person either, because the front is so just jacked up that, you know, I'm kind of like Sam, that I'm a
you're a boardwalk snob,
international gateway,
gateway guy,
international gateway baby.
Even, I mean, so now though, even if you're at Pop Century or Art of Animation, or you're taking the Skyliner in, and you're going through International Gateway.
I never even thought about that. You're right. You're so correct with that observation.
But if you look at last year, Ed, for a while there, we were talking about, you came into the front of Epcot, and it was nothing but walls, and you had to pick going to the right or the left, and they cut you through right to the Seas with Nemo if you went to the right, or if you went to the left, it took you right to the old Ellen's Energy Adventure, and you completely missed the front, and now it's wide open. It's green space. All of the tombstones that people called them, which were the pictures from Leave a Legacy, which my picture was on it, that stuff's getting relocated, and I just think it looks so much better.
We don't know where yet, right?
We don't know. So here's what I can tell you. Disney had told us before all of the shutdowns through the media people that it was going to be relocated inside of Epcot someplace. They never said where, and we haven't heard. So
I would not.
I hope it comes back. I want to see my picture again.
If it's somewhere back around Mission Space in that general area.
Could be.
Perhaps.
Could be.
Perhaps.
Just trying to figure out where else it would fit.
There's a cemetery somewhere coming.
It's kind of futuristic looking.
Well, and that's if, because remember, the what that really was a metal piece that was screwed down into the concrete. So you could, in theory, take that sheet metal off and put it anywhere. It doesn't have to be on a tombstone looking thing.
Oh,
so they could do lots of interesting things. Which, by the way, I found my Leave a Legacy card. It looks like a credit card that they gave me when I bought my picture that they put on it, and it had the location and everything of where it was. I just thought it was cool that I found it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And there was also a URL, leavealegacy.com, which is dead. It doesn't go anywhere anymore.
Right.
It was interesting.
Now, something else that they kept going at Epcot was they kept on the construction with the Guardians of the Galaxy, so that's still kept on moving.
Absolutely.
However, they definitely slowed down on a lot of the other plans. One of the ones that moved forward was they saw a lot of permits and different plans for the new hotel, for the Star Wars hotel.
Ah, for Star Wars Cruiser. It's a Galactic Star Cruiser, Ed. It's not a hotel. It's a ship.
That's exactly it.
Briefly, I will also say, since you brought up Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster, just the other day, I saw a picture. It might have been yesterday. I saw a picture of the ride vehicles on the back of a truck. They were covered up, but you could tell what they were.
Yeah, Disney had a couple of press photos that they pushed out of the vehicles. They look really cool.
Yeah,
but we've seen concept art, but now to see it on a track, it's like, oh my gosh, we're getting close.
What they showed was on a miniature track to show you exactly how they operate. But this was a picture of them like on the back of a truck, that's covered, cool, being coming delivered. In. This is like a picture locally from.
Yeah, that's really special.
How much better seeing that versus things like Animal Kingdom's Primeval World going away,
right? Like,
which is a whole other thing, right? Sure. Going away.
We just saw that too. We just saw pictures of that. It was on a truck getting. You know what? I'm not that upset about that going away.
I'm not. There's one of those in my local amusement park. It was an off-the-shelf thing, and I'm, you know, I'm jumping all over for you there, Ed. Sorry, but who knows what's going to come to that area?
Well, what's cool?
Animal Kingdom and oh.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. And now, is that going to be the beginning of the end of the carnival? Is what we're going to have to see. Now, also this year, which was kind of cool in 2020, because we knew it was going to happen. It had already happened. But they officially announced Stitch's Great Escape was gone forever. And the only other show that really disappeared forever that was made the announcements was that Rivers of Light show over at Animal Kingdom.
So it was Rivers of Light. It was Stitch's Great Escape. And it was Primeval World. Those were the three things that closed up.
Right, and it seemed like they were closing whether or not the parks had closed anyway. So
I think so, too. Sure. Well, so the word with that Primeval World was that the company that made it went out of business. And you do some Googling, you'll figure this one out. And they had to fabricate anytime they needed a piece, and that's why it was down so long. And I can see how that could become an issue.
Sure. So some other things that were happening at Epcot, the Gusteau restaurant sign went up at Remy's, and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure kept on being built. I kept getting updates from everybody that went by it on the Skyway, and it kept sounding better and better each time.
Which is really neat to see, and I will say, and Jimmy, I know you saw it, riding that Skyway during construction, you could see the restrooms that they were building down there, and it was huge, man. There's a big facility back there.
Absolutely.
And only us nerds get excited about a bathroom.
Well, but think about that little corner, though. That's not a bad idea because there's not anything until you get up onto Japan, maybe, or something
like
that.
All they had was the shared toilets that were inside Japan by the bakery. They had the 2-1 stall things, and that was the weirdest setup.
In the patisserie, yeah. You had to really go all the way back to the restaurant to do that. Coming from the U.K., I mean, the next bathrooms are at Morocco, unless you go all the way back in France in the patisserie.
I'll tell you what's genius about the bathrooms they put in for Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
The bathroom.
They're back. Listen, here's what's genius about it. It's by the line for the attraction. It's like halfway there, so you could sneak in and sneak back. What a great concept. I think they learned from Pandora.
Very cool. Now, here's something that happened at Epcot this year that I couldn't even tell you about. The torches were refurbished. Was that something that was actually noticeable? And it was all done in the early, before the parks closed down, so it should have been done by the time you got back in July.
I know they refurbished them. I can only imagine that's part of Harmonious. Although did they use the torches for Epcot forever? I can't remember off the top.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
They did.
And we already
refurbishing could mean just putting new gas fixtures in there and things like that, because those have probably been there since 2000 when Illumination started, right?
Oh, so true. And maybe they just closed them down. Now, here's something that was interesting I didn't know. John Williams won a Grammy for the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Symphonic Suite. So basically the music that plays in Galaxy's Edge.
Absolutely incredible.
Wow.
I missed that too. That is great. I have it hanging on my wall, the picture disc of that soundtrack that I got at the D23 Expo. And you got to love that he won a Grammy for theme park music. How cool is that?
I need to go back and listen to specifically what that was now. That's definitely on the list. Okay, Super Bowl 54. Patrick Mahomes goes to Magic Kingdom. So that was
the big
appearance.
What are you going to do now, Patrick?
You know
Disney
what
Disney World.
Do.
Yeah, exactly.
And who was the first quarterback that did it? Quick trivia.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
I know this, and I'm not remembering.
Giants quarterback, Phil Simms.
Eli Manning.
No, way back before Eli.
Phil Simms was the first quarterback to say, I'm going
to Disney World, and very actually nice. Went. Okay, some other things going on. Disney Springs had a lot of restaurants opening up and closing this past 2020. And it looks like they refurbished some places too. The Ghirardelli place got refurbished, which I thought was kind of an interesting thing.
I think it needed it.
It's been there for a while, so I get that.
Yeah. And I think when you say that, Ed, we should probably preface it with, there were a lot of things that closed and opened because of COVID, but there were also some new things that opened that are completely unrelated to COVID.
And we're going to stay away from it because I tell you what, when Sam put this list together, it was 400 pages long. We whittled it down to 20 pages. We whittled it down to 3. And we basically had
400 pages.
I'm sorry?
Because this opened and then it closed the next week and then it opened again and then it closed. And in Paris, they opened and they closed and they opened and it closed. And Hong Kong, it was all a lot of that.
Oh, gosh. So you know what? They moved this plant in France in the garden. They moved 3 inches to the left.
No, it was just,
I got that. No, never.
Well, the search list was very complete. And that's what the problem was to get like a lot of the stuff we got.
Right.
Okay, so something else that we said goodbye to in 2020, which wasn't COVID-related, the Star Wars Galaxy Far, Far Away show went away because I guess they were going to be moving more stuff back toward Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, there's what basically happened, and I remember when this took place because I love the Galaxy Far, Far Away, but the character meet and greets and the Star Wars things all moved back into Galaxy's Edge. That's where the character interaction is, not necessarily meet and greet. And of course, this is before COVID, what they had looked at, which is also when Kylo Ren, for example, moved out of Launch Bay and went back to Galaxy's Edge. And we got Darth Vader back inside of Launch Bay because he doesn't fit the storyline for Galaxy's Edge. But I think it's okay to do more Star Wars inside of Galaxy's Edge.
Right. And I'm still waiting to hear the long-term plan for where Darth Vader is now over there, the original Star Wars. It's kind of a really separate area. Now, something that happened at Epcot, which at first I didn't think it really mattered, but I would like to go back there again someday. Electric Umbrella closed, which I think is part of the whole refurbishing around the fountain. And that was kind of, I guess, expected. But yeah, I mean, I went there for a burger once in a while, but
It had one of the coolest upstairs areas. If you just wanted to kind of get away and get quiet for a little while, you could get upstairs, which it was closed a lot during the end.
Right.
The announcement was back in February, they were closing it, and today it's gone. It's been torn down, and it's all part of the new World Celebration, which is the center area.
You know, the food, I would say, at Electric Umbrella was fairly mediocre.
I agree. However,
fountain drinks.
Yes.
Which you cannot be fair. You cannot be mediocre in that theme park because there's too many great places to eat in Epcot. Right. Well, right across the way, you got Sunshine Seasons, which is one of the best quick service places in all of Walt Disney World.
But hang on a second, though. Think about this. You have so very little of those counter service places before like 11 o'clock and even two past that as far as lunch goes, that you do have Sunshine Seasons, which is great, but everybody went to the land for like, you know, a dozen years because they're going to get the ride on to Soarin'. So that place was always, always jammed, and it would always overflow into Sunshine Seasons. That's why that place became more of a, we're coming back to Epcot to do fireworks, we're going to stop there for dinner type of place. But Electric Umbrella was cool because, and Sam mentioned it, the fountain sodas. It was refillable. You could just do whatever you want with it.
It was one of the last
Sunshine
places.
Sunshine Seasons has that.
What's that?
Sunshine Seasons has that.
Yeah, but Sunshine Seasons, you got to go back past the cash register and fill it up.
Yeah, they don't tell you anything.
For the most part, but again, it's the whole other reasons I said Sunshine Seasons. Yeah, I didn't go there often, but every once in a while, a burger there, and we usually ate outside. I didn't really think about it.
I look forward to whatever replaces it. Let's put it that way.
Interesting thing now, because of COVID, those quick service locations, most of them, like ABC Commissary, the drinks are like totally on the honor system. Because there's a person that stands in front of because they added that to ABC Commissary as well. They added the refillable drink fountains.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's a person there that's behind a table, and you just tell her what you want, and they give you a cup. The cups and drinks are there. They don't ask for a receipt. They don't.
So that's more so now just because they don't have everybody touching it.
Correct.
Yeah. That's
correct.
Cool. And so they're treating it the same way. And that's not – soda is the least expensive thing in the entire restaurant. And for them to actually charge the prices they do for soda is almost like the biggest crime. It's like 3 cents a cup or some ridiculous amount.
I actually think there's some type of weird agreement with Coca-Cola and Disney that Disney doesn't even pay for the fountain Cokes.
Yeah.
I think they pay for the cups and all that because that's the most expensive part to Disney is the cups.
Right.
And it's probably more than – like in a restaurant, it's probably about – 7 cents a serving, but that's using a reusable glass. It's probably a little more than that because of the cost of the cups and the straws and stuff like that. But still, you're right.
It's
fairly cheap.
They're not losing money.
No. And well, that's why I could see it becoming more of a standard where it is refillable for no price at all. Now another big thing that happened in 2020 that almost got kind of lost in the mess was the castle in the Magic Kingdom got a new color scheme.
It got missed the most, but when you go back, it's going to be the first thing you see. Go, hey, when did they do that?
Right, exactly. And there's been so many different opinions of it. Every photograph I've seen, however, is so different that I really got to wait till I get there. Jimmy?
I will tell you, it is in photos for whatever reason, and I think it has a lot to do with because it's a lot of cell phone photos that you see, and cell phone photos tend to oversaturate pictures that make them look – it makes people look better. But it's not as pink as it shows up in pictures.
That's good to know.
Everybody has the flashbacks to the cake. So that's always great to hear.
Which is 25 years ago.
Very true.
I think it's wonderful for this. I wouldn't want them to change it. Like I want it to go back, but for this specific celebration for them to do something different to separate it, I think is great.
Right. It's like they put the pearl sheen on the colors and it's now shinier and better.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, something else they announced for 2020, and I don't think it's opened yet. They're starting to talk about tickets for it, though, is the Draw to Life is the new Disney Cirque du Soleil. So it's basically
Drawn to Life, yeah.
Right. And it sounds like it's going to be basically based on animation of Disney.
Cirque du Soleil is having some financial difficulties, so there's some questions around it, but I hope that it happens.
Yeah.
Does Disney buy Cirque du Soleil?
You never know.
Or at least the rights to the show that they want to do it.
No, I'm saying the company's struggling, though. That might be a...
I believe they filed for bankruptcy. I don't know what happened.
That may be a cheap buyout if Disney could just own them. Do in all the shows everywhere else. Just maintain them at Disney parks.
Those things are all over in Vegas, though. There's going to be like 8 of them.
Well, really? If they stop, then they'll have no like shortage of employees to come to the Disney version of it.
Exactly.
Best of luck to them. Now, coming back over to the Hollywood studios, forget Star Wars. We had the opening of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway this year.
Nice. Beautiful.
And I've heard great things about it. I've not seen the video of it yet, of anybody's postings. I'm holding out until I finally get down there for this one. Gentlemen?
Stand strong. Stand strong, Ed.
It's a great attraction.
It is a very good attraction. Pleased with with what I saw, and I thought it was a lot of fun. I didn't get to experience the entire attraction because I went after COVID, and they aren't doing the pre-show. So Sam's seen the whole thing. I have not.
And the pre-show is great.
Amazing.
It is. It sucks you in, and it's extremely cute. It's a great attraction, and hope that everybody can see it in its entirety soon.
Right. Now, my one quick question for you about that is, do you still get into the same room where you used to load the car for the Great Movie Ride? Does it still look like a long room where the car's in it and it's a...
No. It's okay. There's some partitions in it that have changed it.
Okay.
It's the same room, but there's partitions in it, so it doesn't look...
The same room.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Let me ask you this then. Is the line getting into it the same line it was with the screen in front?
I would say parts of it, huh, Sam?
Parts of it, yeah, not
like
all
the
of
beginning
it.
Part when you first go through in the theater and you first get into that room with the switchbacks, but then you go into another area that you actually load.
Cool. Okay.
Which might be where the Great Movie Ride loaded, to be honest with you.
It may be.
It's hard to tell because it's a big black box, and when you take all the partitions down and you're left with a big building, you can do anything you want. So it's hard to say.
And you always had to go downhill, though, in that pre-show area. So
there's no downhill part.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Now, here's a big announcement, and this was something that I've been waiting for a long time. The Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom bridge construction has been done.
Yes.
Is it 100% open yet or is ready to open? But basically what this is a pathway like the other side of the Magic Kingdom entrance from the Contemporary. You can walk right to the Magic Kingdom. You can now do that from the Grand Floridian.
It is open. The big piece of that, Ed, was building the drawbridge of sorts so that the water pageant could get out from where it is on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
And with the water pageant reopening, it's running up and running and functioning. And I can't wait to take that walk.
Man, that's got to be a decent hike, huh?
Yes. They're way longer than the Contemporary to Magic Kingdom.
I'm thinking more along the lines of, okay, let's think about this. If you were walking boardwalk and you go around the corner around there to get to the entrance to Epcot, it's not going to be much further than that, is it?
Oh, yeah. It's further.
I think so. I think it's one of those Vegas block type things where it looks like it's right there, but then you start walking it and you realize it's not right there.
It's just not straight. You're walking all the way around the
right. Lagoon.
They should have thought it through and rented bikes on one end and then rent them for their way back. okay. So some food things.
As long as it's a bike and not a Surrey.
Oh, I know, right?
Nobody let Jimmy drive a Surrey. There's a whole other thing there.
Right.
Almost died.
Okay, so I'm not sure if this is a big thing. Hot Diggity Dog food truck at Disney Springs opened up.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Okay, so here's something that, and I'm not sure if this happened before or after COVID, but it's another Epcot announcement. I think it was before, coming to think of it. The Matsurizi Drummers in Japan, and the British Revolution had their final performances at Epcot, and they were done.
Yeah, so that happened after COVID, and it happened pretty quickly. If you remember, the COVID hit in early March, and all of these performers ended at the end of March, which is when contracts were up. And Disney basically took the opportunity to not re-sign quite a few acts, the Drummers being one, the British Revolution being one. There were a couple of others around World Showcase 2 that I'm blanking on.
In Canada.
In Canada. And was it the Chinese acrobats too?
I believe so.
Yes. Yeah.
And the mime in Italy.
So it was, and in retrospect, Disney probably did the right thing because not long after, everything was down, and we've been down for a year now. So,
right.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but they had their final performances.
Yep.
And you can always go get some of those people back if you can. But
yeah, and the Drummers in Japan were there since opening day.
Right. Right.
They were there a long time.
Was the two guys in France? They've been there for a long time.
They've been there a long time, but I think the only two performances that are left that were original is the Voices of Liberty and the Mariachi Cobra. Other than that, those are opening day acts that are still there.
And it almost seems like you need a third set act for that triangle because you got two parts of the park covered there.
You got Carl.
You got Carl, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Opening day entertainment. 30-year-old. Well, actually, I'm blanking on her name. Isn't she still playing piano over there?
Miss Carol is. They've been having her. Actually, I just saw her post 2 days ago. She did a special performance in the British Guard. It's not Victoria.
Oh, the British Guard. I know what you mean.
Yeah, where British Revolution used to play.
Yeah, but, where the maze of shrubs is.
Yeah, for the most part, though, like for Food and Wine, she was in the World Showplace.
Oh, sure.
Me and Kim went and see her in November, and she's going to be back there probably starting the day or this week because of Festival of the Arts. But in between the two festivals, I guess they just had her do one performance in like the British Gardens.
That's cool.
Nice.
I guess while they were flipping
back
over.
Too soon. I was going to say where Mary Poppins is going to be, but
too soon. Which was an announcement that Mary Poppins has been put on hold.
Some other things, but it is what it is.
Yeah, no, it's totally understandable, unfortunately. Now, Bob Chapek elected Walt Disney Company Board of Directors this year, 2020.
So CEO and Board of Directors.
Good moving up.
He's the CEO.
Permits Iger. Filed. Go ahead.
Iger's still chairman of the board.
Iger's retiring, right?
He is, but right now, I mean, he stepped down as CEO and Chapek took over, but Iger is still chair. Chapek still answers to Iger, basically.
Yeah. Thought Iger wanted out, but that's...
Well, he saw what happened, so he came back.
Yeah.
I really do. I think he would probably be out.
Yep, I agree.
Already, but I think he felt like some responsibility to help the company get through these.
Sure.
Somebody with experience. I mean, you can't. That'd be kind of crappy of him to see this coming and just dump it on Chapek and be like, all right, I'm out.
Right. Yeah, it definitely shows the guy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Now, something else that happened major was they demolished the old Disney Hollywood Studios entrance.
Yeah.
That whole area now coming into the park, car wise, is totally different. Disney introduced a new product this year. It's a sad idea about it, but they definitely went full bore into it. Disney-themed character masks have been a major thing for the past about 9 months now, I'd say. and it's continuing on. They expanded a lot of the shopping options. So a lot of the things Galaxy Edge-wise that you can only get at Galaxy's Edge, you're starting to see online more often through 2020.
And in Targets all over the place.
True.
I get it. You got merchandise to sell. You got to sell it. I get it.
All the parks started back opening around July 11th. Disney Springs began opening around May 20th. Did you get down there in May, Jimmy? Wasn't that your Universal trip?
That was in June.
June, gotcha. How was it with just the Disney Springs for the parks?
You know, I mean, it was my first, it was our first trip, me and Kim's first trip to Universal. So, we certainly enjoyed that, but being able to go to Disney Springs for a couple of nights while we were there, was certainly nice too. You noticed, because we couldn't go to Disney parks, you notice some of the little magical things they do in Disney Springs, like the music that may not be necessarily like overtly Disney music. It typically is Disney music. It could, you know, it's almost like different styles of music, but some of them have Disney songs that are done in a different style. So it's, you still get it, you know?
Right. 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 A little taste of it. Excuse me. Okay. Now here's an item that actually it was COVID based and it came about, but I think this is something that's going to be great going down in the future. Mobile dining check-in comes to the My Disney Experience. So you don't have to do the podium check-ins for the restaurants. That sounds just like a natural good thing.
Yeah, it sounds like something that was on the list all along. It just got accelerated, right?
Yep.
And they're just trying to reduce contact with those cast members.
Right. And just it's so much easier once you get to the place as opposed to waiting in line anyway for your turn to check in. Now,
the other part is you don't have to be, you don't have, like for Mama Melrose, if you're at Tower of Terror, and you want to try and get a table at Mama Melrose, you don't have to walk all the way over to Mama Melrose to try and get a reserve a spot. You can just do it on the phone from where you are.
That's cool.
They'll let you know if you get in. Then you can make the trek over there, because it's a pain to go trek over there to find out the wait list is already full.
Yep, definitely. So now 2020 was a year where they canceled a lot of the parties at the parks. The not-so-scary Halloween party got canceled. The Christmas party got canceled. The Flower and Garden show, for the most part, or what's the spring show at Epcot, basically was canceled.
The Garden Rocks and all those. Anything that was back at the American Gardens Theater.
However,
I think it was Garden Rocks.
We were able to get Food and Wine in. How was Food and Wine? I mean, it sounded almost like it was as large as it normally was.
I mean, the only real difference I could tell you would be that they didn't have the Eat to the Beat concert series.
Nice. But the food, that's the thing.
Yeah, the food and the drinks. I mean, all the booths were pretty much there. When they, you know, it started really early because they were doing like almost a shared Flower and Garden kind of food and wine type thing. But as it got later, they opened up more and more of the food and wine booths. I think they were pretty close to what they normally have.
Right. Yep. I kept hearing that. More so that it was more open. And also, again, because of the COVID, but I think it was just made it so much better the way people were telling me that the eating areas after you bought the food around the kiosk were much, much better. There were more of them, tables, chairs, separate areas and stuff like that.
I think we started to see that last year.
Sure. Actually, to a certain extent, definitely. But
so it's a different dynamic this year, Jimmy, in that you can't buy food and then walk around eating it. So and that's usually what I do. I grab a drink, I grab something to snack on, I walk to the next booth. How did the dynamic of not being able to eat while you walk change the experience, or did it?
I'm not a walker and eater anyway, so it probably didn't make much difference to me. I mean, not that I did much different, but you walk halfway to the next booth and then you just stop and eat and, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Standard operating procedure.
Yeah. You just kind of stop along the railing, you know, along the lagoon and, you know, just make sure you distance from everybody else and, you know, but it wasn't that busy. So they had a lot of space. So it wasn't hard to do that.
That's good.
Nice. Okay. So here's another announcement that I kind of figure is one of the bigger ones of the year. Splash Mountain to be rethemed to the Princess and the Frog. It was announced, I think, kind of mid-year. And it was kind of an odd thing where it seemed to come out of nowhere all of a sudden. The announcement came up and then the upswell about what was going to go on around it.
Okay.
However, it's not going to happen very soon. And we're going to see what happens. There's a whole lot of things to say about that. I think there's some good things and there's some bad things. You just keep going back and forth with it.
I can tell you there's no mountains in Louisiana.
Okay, so moving on from that one, NBA, which I heard they're going to go back to doing this again. They made a deal with Disney and had the most successful sports season COVID-wise this year by creating the NBA bubble at Walt Disney World. There was so much that happened with that that was pretty much a raving success. Yet, for some reason, they started the season when it's much worse without it, although I hear they're going to be going back into it. So I'm not sure about that for 2021.
Wait, what are they doing?
I heard they're supposed to be going back into the bubble in Disney World.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Don't take it for truth. Maybe I heard or read it wrong. But
I heard they're doing bubbles, but they're doing like individual bubbles.
The Sixers are stuck in New York, quarantining, and they're supposed to be playing tomorrow night. It's going to be interesting at home.
In the context of 2020, I think it was a win for Disney. I mean,
definitely it was.
They filled up a bunch of hotels. They kept people employed. They kept people making food. So it was good for them.
And it wasn't just NBA. It was MLS.
Major League Soccer was at the Swan and Dolphin.
And actually, I think soccer that did it first, they just weren't as popular.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, it kept people busy down there. And yeah, sure, that's what you got to feel for.
That's the biggest thing. You're putting people at the Grand Floridian. What was it? The Grand Floridian, Coronado, and
Yacht and Beach, if I remember it.
Yep, Yacht and Beach. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Plus the Sports
Yacht
Center.
There was Yacht Club, because Beach Club Villas was open and it was walled off from Yacht Club.
There you go.
So yeah, you brought some of those people back to work who wouldn't have been at work otherwise.
Yep. Cool. That's good.
Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover was listed for a multi-month refurbishment. Was it down for the Tron ride?
No.
I don't think it was down for Tron. It was just down.
No, they were doing some, there were some, you know where the purple wall is?
Right. Yeah.
So kind of right there, but closer to the main walkway in Tomorrowland, there was some scaffolding and stuff right there. So they're doing some stuff all along the, I don't know if it's on the track or they're doing stuff on the facade.
Gotcha. That was by the Noodle Station guys where the purple wall is.
Yes. Correct. Correct.
Station.
Okay, so it wasn't anything major like in, you know, indoor type of stuff they're changing, which they could do. I don't think that would be bad someday. Although it is kind of ties into Carousel of Progress, if you think about it, history. Okay, here's something interesting, which I never really think about it, but this would be so cool, although I still think I'll get stopped by the security guards. New nonstop walkthrough security scanners come to Disney Hollywood Studios.
That is great.
So
Have you experienced those, Jimmy?
The new security systems?
Yeah.
They're amazing.
I have not, and it's something that I had been waiting for Disney to get.
So the main thing is that you basically, if you have like an umbrella or a battery pack or something like that, anything large and metal, basically you take it out your bag and you walk through it with it in your hand, like in front of you, in your bag behind, like kind of behind you, because they get imaging. So you'll set it off, but they look at the imaging. As long as the imaging of what's going off is in your hand and they can see what it is, you just walk through. If you set it off and it's in your bag, then they divert you to a little station where they just kind of check your bag. And I have experience where they dig in your bag and or have you take everything out to where they just grab your bag, feel around the bottom of it, and tell you to go.
That's standard security right there.
It sounds better though, either right? Way. It's better than the old.
Oh, it's way better, way better.
Nice.
I can't wait.
So now I only read it as it was announced at Hollywood Studios only. Is that something? Okay, gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, they added it to a couple other parks.
Nice.
Springs, right? They added the Springs too.
Springs, but only if you're driving it. They're in the parking
garage.
If you arrive by bus, you still do a temperature check, but you don't do go through the.
Got it.
And I you know what? We'd be remiss if we didn't touch base on this. So let's take a break and talk about it. How were the entries into Walt Disney World parks? And now you just kind of mentioned it going in the Springs, temperature, and then the walkthrough scanners. Now, did they have the temperature up until November? They were still taking temperatures?
They're still taking temperatures now.
Okay. And what's the process?
So before you get to the scanners, like the security, there's little white tents. Like basically like in Magic Kingdom where like you get off the bus where the three paths kind of converge before you get to like when you're kind of going around that turn to the right, there's some white tents there. And there's two or three people in there with little contactless. You know, and they just scan your forehead and tell you you're good to go.
Cool. Do they have any, and this has to be asked a lot of times, do they have any false positives? Like they give you a check a second and do it again, or are you just one and done and you're out?
No, if your temperature is too high, there is a cool down tent that you can go sit down for a little while, and then they'll recheck you.
Cool. That's nice. A little second chance.
But I think these things are fairly accurate. And look, I've been in like a fast pace, not a fast pace walk, but a decent walk from Boardwalk to International Gateway, where it's hot and I'm a little sweaty, and I go through it and I was still fine. No problem.
Okay, cool.
I think that was some people's concerns early on, right?
Sure. And it doesn't really work that way. You might feel hot, but your body temperature doesn't really raise.
Good. That's good to know. I'm a sweater. Okay, so Disney announces D23 Expo will be canceled until 2022. That will be the next
one. Puts it on the even years. The Expo's always been the odd years, every other odd year.
Oh, yeah, they took advantage of that.
15, 17, 19, now it's on the even years. Okay, right. It is what it is.
Now, this next one is a really, really sad one, and I did kind of say how some people went away, but Bob Jackson, Yeehaw Bob, is no longer a Disney employee. They let him go along with a lot of other entertainment people, and we could always hope down the road he comes back. But definitely go out to Yeehaw Bob Jackson's website, support him, check out what he's doing, and
Facebook page. He's a friend of the show, and he does some great live things.
Yep. Now this one I've noticed a number of times for you guys being in the parks. The Liberty Square Riverboat, Tom Sawyer Island, both closed for refurbishment.
Yeah, now, some pictures of an empty lake.
In November, empty, I still think it was empty. The river, right. It was like, was that right? It was still empty?
It's empty now.
Yeah,
Somebody just posted a picture in our group, I think, today, and they were
asking. That is so crazy to see empty.
Have you heard?
This is bizarre.
Well, I know. And you see that the track on the bottom.
There's no track.
Heard anything about what they're doing? Like, are they actually going to be fixing up Tom Sawyer Island, or is it just general maintenance?
No, I think it's maintenance on the track itself.
Okay, gotcha. So Tom Sawyer Island, just because you got to get across the water, that's closed for that.
Yeah, that track's been underwater 50 years. I don't know if that's true.
A year or two ago, they did have a section of it exposed. They dammed the river up right close to maybe like Country Bear Jamboree, and then right on the other side of Haunted Mansion, where just that part was drained. You think it's bizarre, like this past trip, that was really bizarre to see it dammed.
Yeah, I've seen them do that around Cinderella's Castle in the moat.
Only like a section of it empty. But when we were there in November, you think it's bizarre just seeing it empty? It's even more bizarre seeing a bobcat
in it.
Oh, right. Yeah. A construction vehicle. Cool.
Construction vehicles down there working. So it's,
Well, there's only so many things you can board up so you can't see, so they can't hide that.
Yeah, you can't. That's it.
That's right.
And you can't really do that work. That work they're doing probably can't really be done at night without
a lot of lights.
A lot of lights, and it's more cost. And so, yeah.
Sure. Now, this was something that was interesting because I saw it earlier how Morocco Pavilion had closed down, basically. Then I saw that Disney had taken over the operations of it. So I'm guessing that Morocco had operated it?
Yeah, Morocco had always operated it.
Well, I knew they built it. I didn't know they actually kind of still adhered and ran the place.
Like Restaurant Marrakesh was not a Disney restaurant.
Yep.
Now, I think their employees still go through Disney training. They're trained as cast members, but they're not directly employed by Disney. Same thing's true with Japan.
Oh, okay. Well, I always noticed.
One of the ways you can tell is that when you go into Japan and you buy something there, the credit card machines are completely different than any other credit card machine in Walt Disney World.
Oh, no, I never noticed that. Very cool. Well, now
it makes me wonder if that changes Harmonious and what they can do shining lights on the pavilion over there in Morocco.
They want now. The little store like next that's connected to Spice Road Table. They've already got Aladdin merchandise in there.
Yeah, Harmonious is supposed to be about bringing the characters into the park, right? And now you can see Genie and Aladdin over in Morocco, but maybe now we get some light up stuff, some projection. Who knows?
Right.
And another change for Morocco was Spice Road Table has changed. It was a restaurant. Now it's more of a lounge. They do have some like small plates and appetizers, but no real like dinner menu. They added a bunch of drinks.
Right. I'm good with that.
Very cool. And that was, Harmonious is coming. It should have been here in 2020. They were testing, I heard, while you guys were down there, perhaps?
I don't know if they were they did some firework tests. And I just saw the other day that the big barge is now in the lake, in the World Showcase Lagoon.
Okay. It's coming. It's coming. Okay. Yeah. Disney Riviera Resort celebrates its first year anniversary. It's been a year now.
Jeez.
Same with the Skyway. Isn't it only been a year?
Been a year.
It's been a totally awesome thing. I'm waiting for them to open up the next track. Where's the next track going to go?
Animal Kingdom.
Friend Brett Beaudoin, who's a local guy to me, mm-hmm. is actually at Riviera. He just posted some pictures. He's staying. Him and his wife are at Riviera now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Say hi. Yeah. Okay, now the last announcement for 2020, which basically caps off a basic, horrible year. Joe Rohde announces his retirement from Walt Disney Imagineering.
Does the ring make it into the archives? The earring.
He donated his work boots.
That's cool. So I'm sure he's going to do some things.
Which, by the way, he did that right after a 4-part series on Disney Plus about Animal Kingdom.
Right. And we're going to definitely talk about that now. Disney Plus is 1 year old, a little bit more than 1 year old.
Started. See, I was giving you a good segue there.
That was
Joe
perfect.
Retiring, right? We didn't mention the fact that
he never fixed the damn Yeti.
Although
he does talk about
that.
There's
been some questions about it. Yeah.
I saw some mention where he does talk about that in an article headline or something like that, and I've been trying to track it back down again. So that potentially is out there.
With me.
But now that brings up a good point, because Disney Plus has brought us an incredible library of information for the past year. And now after the past year, when you look back on it, at least in my opinion and what I've been watching, it's been a lot of The Mandalorian, of course, and the Star Wars stuff. It's been a lot of the documentaries, and it's been a lot of the Animal Kingdom stuff. The Joe Rohde thing, the Animal Kingdom behind-the-scenes animal care, things like that.
Yeah. I just think that National Geographic has been, wow.
I was going to go there next, too, and I totally agree with that. Yep. Now, what about you guys as far as the movie library? Because for me, 2020, with the Disney Plus movie library that's available to me, I packed away a lot of my DVDs.
I can see that.
And saved a little space on the shelves downstairs. So have you been watching any of those, or is it just all the new stuff? And the newest being Mulan, being like the major first big release of a motion picture to the streaming service.
I've seen a lot of stuff in Disney Plus. I've used it quite extensively.
Yeah.
Some new stuff, but when new stuff comes out, that's exciting, but I've also gone back. I just, before we came on, I was telling Ed, I'm in the middle of watching Rebels a second time right now, and I watched the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yeah,
oh, that's the Apple Dumpling Gang. I remember, dude. I hate to say it, I saw that when it came out.
Damn, you're old, Ed.
Dog, you're old.
But I tell you, just the endless possibilities of what you can watch out there is pretty incredible. Yeah, definitely checking out National Geographic, checking out the old stuff. But it is a lot of the new things that are coming out that are really catching my attention, and there's no end to it. We're getting ready for big Marvel openings for the
WandaVision.
Right. And the new Star Wars things are coming after it, and it just doesn't seem to get any less. Compared to the other streaming services, I got to think Disney Plus has jumped right on top for a lot of the people that kind of have the same thinking I do.
Stan Solo the other day, and I know Sam's going to build his own timeline on kind of what's coming.
Yes.
Star Wars universe.
It's great.
But when Stan posted that graphic of the things coming, I'm like, holy cow, that's a lot.
It's crazy.
Stuff.
And I think that goes just to the Disney Investor Day and the fact that there were over 100 different things that are coming to Disney Plus. And it's just like, wow.
Now,
think
about who is the guy at Disney who thought about, let's bring Disney Plus streaming to the world before the COVID pandemic hit? Holy crap, did that guy just get set up for life?
Yeah.
Or gal. Okay, so now this year was also a light year for movie releases from the Disney companies. Disney and Pixar kept on with some of their schedule. However, Marvel and Star Wars, I don't think Star Wars so much has held back anything. I think they just didn't have anything coming out.
No movies.
But Marvel, definitely the big news was them holding back a lot of their releases, Black Widow and some other things like that. However, we did this year get, and I didn't know this first one was a Disney movie or a Disney company, but Underwater, which is that Kristen Stewart movie that we're watching now. It's like Alien, but underwater. Call of the Wild, which was really actually not that bad. That's Harrison Ford's movie, bringing back that old novel up in Alaska with Buck, the dog. The movie Onward. I actually have not seen Onward yet. I hate to admit it. My wife,
I did get to see that.
My wife lost her dad last year, and I didn't want to go through that. So we stayed away from it. I just never got back to it. Artemis Fowl, which I looked forward to a lot, and I never got to. The one and only Ivan, which is that, I guess it's live action-ish type of circus movie with the gorilla. Yep. Mulan, which I finally saw only about a week or two ago, and I thought it was exceptional compared to like the grief it got in a lot of the reviews.
Oh, people just aren't satisfied.
I thought it was, I forget it wasn't, you know, I was looking for Mushu the entire movie, and I think I did see him a couple times. But other than that, I thought it was a great story. I thought it was really well done. Everything was great.
My advice to people who have not seen it, when you go to see it, don't have any expectations about the animated movie.
You can't help but do that, though, Jimmy. And I almost want to say that because they kept touching base on a lot of the songs. Every time they did the next scene, you started singing it like, let's get down to business, when they started doing the whole getting ready stuff.
They used a little bit of the music without the lyrics, but they used a little bit. But, you know, people's like, oh, my God, it's not the same story. Well, guess what? Yeah, it's closer to the actual story of Mulan than the animated feature. Sure. And I like the animated feature, too, but I like them for different reasons. I also enjoy a good martial arts film, and that the new live action Mulan is more of a martial arts film than it is a love story that the animated feature is.
Oh, sure, definitely was. And I don't know, is it spoilers? Yeah, we're not going to talk about it. Definitely go see Mulan.
That came out at the beginning of December. It's been a month.
I haven't seen it.
So we're not going to say anything. And finally, Pixar's release of Soul.
I saw that Christmas Day. That was kind of cool.
Which we haven't seen.
A first run movie on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that is very cool. I will say that. Haven't seen that one yet either, though, so we're holding off on that, too. Have you seen it yet, Jimmy?
I have not seen Soul.
Now, here was the weird thing is that there was one superhero movie released, unfortunately not under the Disney company, so I did waste some time on that.
What?
Wonder Woman 84.
Oh, yeah, we watched that.
Yeah.
It was okay.
I thought it was okay, too. It got abused again, like more so than I thought it should have, but...
Dumb.
Yeah, and there's some... We'll talk later.
There's just so many haters. I mean, look, the movie wasn't perfect. It wasn't as good as the first one, but it was fine. It was still very entertaining.
We'll push the story. I thought that was
cool.
That's
all you look for in a movie, entertainment.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Okay, guys, so that was a real dumpster fire of a year, and I think we're finally done with it. So moving on to 2021, we're looking at Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, and hopefully a lot of the things they have planned continue to go forward.
Looking forward to it. A lot to look forward to.
Lots to see. Can't wait for the new things going to open in 2021. We know that we have Harmonious coming. We know that we have Ratatouille. Other than that, we just got to wait and see. So Kongaloosh!
4 days. I'll be back in Walt Disney World.
That's right.
Nice. Very cool. Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 373, the year in review that was 2020. What do you think? What'd we miss? Let us know. Hey, Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at Ed at the Disney Nerds Podcast.com, Jimmy at the Disney Nerds Podcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at the Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for the show. We really appreciate you listening and sticking with us for another year of the Disney Nerds Podcast. For Jimmy, for Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Kongaloosh.
Compulsory.